Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 366, Faith's Audacious Authority. Lead Pastor Harley Kolderman delivered this message on Sunday, April 14th, 2024, in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Amen. Praise the Lord. That was Pastor Sassung, youth pastor of the Beit Hillel congregation in Ashdod, Pastor Israel Pachter Sen. And we're so grateful that they're there. Standing for Jesus in a nation that really needs help and needs support and needs blessing. Praise the Lord. Why don't you stand for just a moment? I want to pray. Pastor Karen and I were away for 10 days or so overseas, and I understand that people got hit with sicknesses and a lot of stuff went on while we were gone. But God is faithful, and He's able and willing to heal, to deliver, to save, to sanctify, to bless. And we wanted to just pray for those people. Maybe some of them are watching today. Maybe some didn't come to the service today because they're in recovery mode. But we want to pray for them. Also, one of our board members, Gary Smith, asked for prayer because he was hit with like an irregular heartbeat. Gary has been a member of the congregation for many, many years, since really the beginning of My Father's House, and he's on our board of directors. He lives in Nashville area now, but we're just believing God to give him healing and a speedy recovery from this, and that he still has lots of good years to serve God. Praise the Lord. So, Father, we pray for Gary. We pray, Father, for others, Lord, who have suffered attacks of the enemy. We thank you that no weapon formed against them will prosper because the righteousness is of you. We rebuke sickness, heart problems, cancers, issues, diabetes, other things, Lord, that have attacked the people in this congregation and those that are watching us or tuning in via internet, Father God, online streaming, Lord. We just pray in the mighty name of Jesus. We rebuke these things. And by the power of the blood of Jesus, we thank you and declare victory over them. We declare recovery, Lord. We ask you for speedy recovery, Lord, for health and healing, Father God. And Father, that you put every person in a place of not just receiving healing, but a place of divine health, Father, where sickness cannot touch them, where disease cannot take them out, Lord, where accidents and tragedies and other things and trauma that's happened, Lord, cannot take them down. But, Father, that they fully recover and stand strong, healthy, well in you and in the power of your might. And for it, we give you glory, we give you honor, we give you praise in the mighty name of Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Because it's in his name and it's by his power and by the blood that he shed on the cross of Calvary that we stand in freedom and victory today. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You can be seated. Praise God forever. Hallelujah. So let's, I just feel like we should just continue to pray just a little bit. In the spirit, Father, this is a great day of victory. A great day of victory for your people Israel, for the nation of Israel, Father God. We're thanking you for it, Lord. In spite of what the world says and the media says, Father God, they're standing strong, Father. Thank you for the coalition that came around them to help them last night. And thank you, Father God, for giving them extended victory into the future and for guiding their leaders, Father, those that are leading them, and for helping them and blessing them because they are your people, the apple of your eye. We're grafted into their tree, Father God. We thank you that salvation came from them. And Father, that through Jesus we have received inheritance with them, Father, of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So Lord, we praise you for it in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said?
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So probably never... I was a little bit amused when we were singing the last song. I mean, it was just like, I was a little bit of a distract. The cassettes have passed away, and the 8 tracks have passed away, and those things really passed away, but we're still here. Praise the Lord. fighting the fight of faith. Amen. Praise the Lord. So anyway, that's just a side thing that kind of hit me. But never before have we lived in a time of history, I think, where there's been so much rapid change happening all around us in the world around us, in the state, in our state, in our cities, in the nation, and in the nations of the world. There's so much movement, immigration, all kinds of crazy stuff going on with governments and administrations and so forth. But yet in our nation here, we still have a relative amount of freedom. Maybe some of those freedoms have been lost. Some people seem to think that. But we basically live in the land of the home of the free and the brave. Praise the Lord. And we should be so grateful for what we have, because many people don't have an opportunity to choose the government that they have. You just get what you get, and usually it's not good. Because the devil came to take over the kingdoms of this world and to dominate the political scene, the world scene. And of course, we know from the Bible that the end game for the devil is a one world government that serves him and bows down to him and worships him in the temple in Jerusalem. So with that in mind, it could be pretty hopeless. And as we come to the time of end, people can be shaken, because the things that we take for granted so many times, all the time, can be removed just overnight, just like that. I mean, just think about the nation of Israel last night. If those rockets, if those missiles, ballistic missiles, had gotten through, even just one or two of them, they could have done tremendous destruction, not just to military installations, but also to places where people live. Every time the sirens go off in Israel, they head for their safe rooms. Every apartment, and in the newer apartments, they actually have a bomb shelter is one of the bedrooms usually, and they have usually a couple of seconds notice to get there. So I mean, it's kind of a crazy way to live, but I've been there many times when there are things happening like that, and you just if you're driving, you just pull over and you get into the lowest place that's nearby and you lay on the ground. If you're near a bomb shelter, you run for the bomb shelter, and if you're in your apartments, you run for the safe rooms. So it's a horrible kind of way to live in a way. I mean, it's good that they have protection, but just to think of, you have to be thinking about that all the time, and you have to be thinking about your kids, you have to think about your family members and other people, and then all of them have relatives and members of their families in the IDF and in the IAF. So they have to think about their safety as well. But here in America, you know, thankfully, since the Civil War, we've not had any war on our own, in our own land, other than fighting that goes on in cities and so forth, and streets with gangs and so forth. But we should be thankful and grateful. And we should be standing up for our nation, and we should be standing in prayer for our nation, because we can't just say, well, it's always been this way, it'll always be that way. Because if you don't stand up and fight for what's right and fight for what's good, then you will get whatever you get, and you will have only regrets that you didn't do more when you could do more. So we want to encourage everybody to, you know, register to vote and to vote. Even if you think your vote doesn't count, your vote and your prayer together can count greatly, because God is still a miracle-working God. Amen? And remember, we're not voting for a pastor of the United States of America. We're voting for a president, somebody who runs the country. So he may not be a perfect person. We're voting for a governor here in the state of Indiana. May not be a perfect person, but we have some righteous people that are running for office, so let's vote for them. Let's stand behind them. Let's get behind them. If the church would just, if the people of the body of Christ would just vote, we could change this nation in one day. If we just do what we should do. But so many people have different ideas about that, and I'm okay if you disagree with me, and I'm not going to be disagreeable about it. I'm not going to fight you about it. But I do want to encourage you to stand strong in the Lord and the power of His might, and to do everything that you can do, and take your responsibility and take your time to pray and your time to use your faith to be the body of Christ that we should be here in this nation. Amen. We have a great heritage, and we have a great heritage to uphold. It's up to our generation to keep what others have won for us. So we must fight the fight of faith. Amen. Praise the Lord. So the call to be strong and courageous from Joshua chapter 1, verses 8 and 9 has never been more, maybe more needed, because we need people who are strong in the Lord and the power of His might, strong and courageous, not dismayed, not afraid, because God is with us. Amen. You have to have faith in Him, faith in the one who can make the changes, the one who can protect you like He protected Israel last night, the one who can protect your family, can protect you personally. That's the God that we serve. So many stories in the Bible about insignificant people who felt they were unimportant, or maybe they weren't, you know, the upper class and the elite, but God used them in their nation to do mighty things and great things because they became people of faith, men and women full of faith, men and women full of the Holy Spirit, and they changed nations. Praise the Lord. So let's be like them. Let's answer the call to be strong and to be courageous, and let's go forward in the power of His might. Just remember, it's not about us. You know, if it's up to us, you know, we'd probably mess everything up. But in spite of our messes, He's a great God, and He's the winner, and you're on the winning side, because Jesus has a kingdom, and in His kingdom, you reign with Him as a king and a priest before Him. So let's never forget that. Amen? So be strong, be tall, stand up straight, and fight the fight of faith. Amen. Praise the Lord. So I want to speak to you this morning about faith's audacious authority. So there are many weapons of our warfare. You know, the Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or of the flesh, but they're mighty through God to demolish strongholds. So we want to see strongholds come down. Amen? Amen. Strongholds in our families, strongholds in our personal lives, strongholds in our relationships, strongholds in our state, our cities, our nation. We want to see those strongholds come down. In other words, the stranglehold that the enemy has over people's lives, we want to see it broken, we want to see it destroyed, and we want to see God's change to come and His move of His Spirit to sweep over the land in a mighty way, so that we can be who God called us to be, to take the gospel to the ends of the earth, and to take His healing power to the next generation. Praise the Lord. So that call requires us to be people of faith. There are many weapons of warfare, but some primary weapons are, of course, worship. Pastor Sarah was sharing before the service started about the strength and the power of worship to make an effect not only in our lives. You know, we have stories from the Bible like Paul and Silas in prison when they worshiped God, how the earthquake came and they got set free from the prison house, and the prison keeper got saved, and a great church was started in the city of Philippi, all from two men who were beaten and who were put in stocks and who were worshiping and praising God so that the prisoners heard them. They weren't quiet about their faith. They weren't quiet about their worship. They just were maniacs raving and praising God in the middle of trouble. So, you know, we have to take from stories like that, we have to take some lessons so that we can be like those who, with faith and patience, you know, turn the world upside down. Amen? So you can't just sit back and be an observer, be a kind of a spectator, and just kind of hope things are going to go well, and whatever will be, because that might not be so good. But you can be proactive, and you can be taking your faith and going forward. Praise the Lord. So be strong and be courageous. Use worship in an amazing way. Be a God worshiper. You know, sometimes, you know, we just kind of go along. We sing the songs and we call it worship, but our heart's kind of somewhere else, or our head's kind of somewhere else, and we just kind of like going along because this is how we do church, you know, but we can't just do church anymore. It's the time is too late to just do church. We have to really enter into his gates with thanksgiving in our hearts. We need to enter his courts with praise on our lips. We need to be thankful to him and bless his name, for he is good and his mercy endures forever. Amen. You got to get that inside of you and let it come out of you in a way that brings blessing to God. The Bible says that the praise of God's people stills the avenger. I don't remember exactly the scripture verse that comes from, but it shuts the mouth of the enemy, the one who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So when you have adversity, when you have challenges, when you have something coming against your family or against your body or against your kids or against the church family, you need to stand up and just begin to worship God and let that worship and praise silence the avenger, silence his mouth, shut his mouth, amen? Because he's a liar, he's the father of lies, and we can't afford to listen to any of his lies, amen? So shut him up with worship of God and with your praise. So that's an important weapon. Another important weapon, of course, is prayer. You know, prayer, we say prayer changes things, but unless you engage in prayer, you will never see prayer change things for you. And you should find better ways to pray. I mean, if your prayer life has been ineffective, maybe it needs some change. So here's some help. This one by Andrew Womack says, A Better Way to Pray. I want to encourage especially those that are part of our Healing University classes, our Master Class of Healing, to access this book and get this book, because I think it will help you understand some of the underlying things that we're learning in those classes that are preparing people to take the healing power of Jesus to our city, to our area here. We want to see the healing center rise up, but the healing center cannot rise up without people. You are the healing center. The healing center isn't a building. I mean, we could use a building, and we need a building, but we really need you. We need people who are the healers, you know, to take the healing. Jesus said, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils. That's our job. Amen? That's our assignment. So we need to prepare for that. That's what we're doing in our Healing Masterclass. But we do have to know how to use our faith in prayer so that we can get victory. And sometimes, you know, some of us were brought up in some religious backgrounds where maybe how to pray wasn't really so emphasized. You know, I grew up in a tradition where they just kind of prayed out of the books. And I'm not saying those were bad prayers and that they were ineffective or useless or anything like that. I'm not contesting anybody's way of doing anything. But they may not have been the best thing for us because, you know, we were relying on somebody's prayer from the 18th century or 15th century or 16th century to get us through and to to order our lives. So that's maybe not the best way to pray. Amen? Because now we're in the 21st century and we're facing all kinds of things that those folks didn't face. Maybe some things they did. But we need to grow. Amen? So no matter how much you know about prayer, you can always grow. And I recommend this book. It's a good one. Praise the Lord. So the call to be strong and courageous has to do with authority. Authority is another weapon. The authority that Jesus gave us is another weapon of our warfare. So those three things, worship and prayer and the authority that God has given us through his word, through the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit inside of us, and through his command for us to use our authority, those are all important things as a part of the key weapons, really, to take the enemy out, take him down. Amen? So you can't just stand and hope things get better and go away. You have to be engaged. You can't be the, you know, kind of the silent majority that just kind of just said, okay, everything's going to be okay. I hope everything's going to be okay. I'm hoping and I'm praying. No, you just need to be believing God and using your faith and engaging. Amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord. So anyway, I want to take you to Matthew 28:16. I don't want to belabor my introduction here anymore. But Matthew 28:16, we sometimes call this area, this sixth section of Scripture, the Great Commission. That means that Jesus has given us a job to do, so we better pay attention. Matthew 28:16 says, "Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus directed them." It's important to go where Jesus sends you, right? Amen? Some of us stayed in some places where Jesus didn't send us for a long time. But we needed to get out of those places and go to where Jesus was sending us. Amen? It's important to listen to him. Verse 17 says, "And when they saw him, they worshiped him." Remember, this is after the resurrection of Jesus. So we just celebrated the resurrection day. Jesus came out of the grave. He's alive, and he's presented himself in many ways to the disciples and to those who were following him. And yet some people didn't believe. It says that they saw him and they worshiped him, but some doubted. So that's kind of human nature on display, right? Sometimes our head just gets in the way of stuff. And, it's something that a minister taught us years ago that I think maybe should be helpful for you today is, this thing about doubt. The Bible says that when it's talking about faith, it says if you have any doubt, you'll be like a wave that's tossed by the sea back and forth. And it says that person shouldn't think he should receive anything from God. So sometimes we have this kind of fight, but I do have some doubts sometimes. I can have some doubts in my head about a lot of things, a lot of scripture. You can have some doubt in your head. But something that helped us years ago to kind of get through that was this minister said, you can have doubt in your head, but faith in your heart and still get an answer from God. But if you have faith in your head and doubt in your heart, you've got a big problem. So we need to put in our heart the things that build faith so that the doubts in our head don't sidetrack us. Amen? Because you don't want the doubts that come through your head to settle down in your heart. Because then you're like that unstable person that gets tossed back and forth. You want to stay rock solid on the Word of God and faith in His Word, and then you can prevail in the time of adversity. So it says in verse 18 that Jesus came and said to them, "All authority," everybody say all.
All.
"All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Now, he won the authority back from the devil of heaven and earth on the cross. The Bible says that that's where he defeated the devil. In Colossians, it says that he spoiled the principalities and powers and made a public spectacle of them and triumphed over them in it.
Yes.
So in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve sinned, they gave authority that was given to them, they gave it to the devil. It got transferred to Satan, and he became what the Bible calls the god of this world. So if you wonder, where our problems lie, it lies in sin, and we were born into a world that was contaminated with sin, the sin that started with Adam and Eve not following God's instructions in the garden. So I guess we could stand here and blame Adam and Eve, but it doesn't do any good to blame people for stuff when God has provided an answer. Because in that same garden, he made a promise to Adam and Eve. He said, "I'm going to send someone. I'm going to give you seed. I'm going to send someone that crushes the head of the enemy that just deceived you. He will bruise your heel, but you will crush his head." And so in that victory, we should live. Amen? The victory of the cross, where he spoiled the principalities and powers, or wrecked them, and triumphed over them. Triumph means you have total victory. And the Romans, when they triumphed over somebody, they paraded them naked through the streets as prisoners that would never reign and never rule again. So that's kind of the symbolism here that's being used, that Jesus triumphed over those demon powers in it. The Bible even says that if these demons and the devil really knew what would happen at the cross, they would have never crucified the Lord of glory, because that was their defeat. They didn't understand that. They missed it, and Jesus became the conqueror. And now we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us. Amen? Praise the Lord. all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. And then he gives us a command that go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So we get our marching orders out of the authority that Jesus was given. He's in this 19th verse, he's transferring that authority to us. He's saying, now, all this authority has been given to me. Now you go in that authority, and you make disciples of nations, and you baptize them. In other words, baptize them into the body of Christ so that they can be part of the army of God that's raised up to serve him. And then he says, verse 20, it's not enough just to be baptized into the body, into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But he said, you have to teach them to observe all I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of age. In other words, that authority that I've just transferred to you will stay with you to the end of the age. So we're closer to the end of the age than these folks were. A lot closer. And if you read the Bible about the signs of the times, you can think maybe we're really, really close to the end of the age. I mean, when you see missiles coming over towards Israel like that, I mean, it could have been the start of the Ezekiel 38 war, you know, which is kind of the final battle on the face of the earth. Thankfully, God stopped it last night, and it didn't go there, at least yet. But it could go there, and we could be very, very close to that time. And so we should be aware of what the Bible says about those end times so that we can not just be informed, but so that we can help others to come to a place of faith so that they can live in victory in spite of what's going on in the world. Praise the Lord. So this thing about authority, this we have to understand that this authority that Jesus is giving us, transferring to us, is really, really important and is one of the keys, one of the key things to bring down the strongholds of the enemy. Because if you don't use your authority, the enemy will just come and he'll steal you blind. I mean, he'll come into your house and wreck stuff. You know, he'll come into your life and wreck you. He'll come into your kids' lives and wreck them. He'll come into your state, into your city, and he'll wreck your city. He's a destroyer. That's his mode of operation. But you don't have to take that because Jesus has given you authority. And as the body of Christ, he's given us authority. So we have personal authority in him, and we have collective authority in the body of Christ to stand up against the onslaught of the enemy. He can't have our nation.
That's right.
He can't have our state. Yep. He can't have the city of Fort Wayne and the surrounding communities. It doesn't belong here. It belongs to us. It belongs to the body of Christ.
Yes.
Belongs to those who are going to fight the fight of faith. Amen? But you have to stand up and take it. So Pastor Karen and I were just in Stockholm, Sweden, the last few days at the Jerusalem Prayer Breakfast in Stockholm. So we've taken, to make a long story short, we were part of the founding members of Jerusalem Prayer Breakfast in 2017 in Jerusalem when the first one was conducted. But after that, it was thought that we should take these prayer breakfasts to other nations and other cities because not everybody can travel to Jerusalem and engage in prayer with the Israeli people. They, at the last minute, canceled us because they were afraid of the quote-unquote security concerns, you know, because now they have many Muslims in their nations. I think it's Sweden has like 10 million some people. And now over a million of them are Muslim immigrants. So they were afraid of security issues. So the hotel canceled us. So that's not a good thing when the meeting's the breakfast is coming up. And then not only did they cancel him, but a businessman who signed a contract with us to underwrite all the costs, costs that weren't covered by registration, he was going to underwrite all these costs. He backed out on us and reneged on his contract and said, I'm not going to pay for it. And furthermore, he said he's going to keep the money that came in for registrations. So we were experiencing some adversity. But thankfully, a Chinese woman pastor from New York stepped in and said, don't worry about that man. I'll pay for it. And so she sent a big offering. and rescued us. But then when we transferred the money to the hotel, to the new hotel, to the new location, the bank stopped it and wouldn't release the money. And so I was standing in bank offices almost all day in a queue, in a line, trying to get somebody to help us to get the money released to the hotel so we could have the prayer breakfast in the next day. So it's this crazy stuff like that happens because the enemy wants to stop anything that has to do with the people of God. All we were trying to do is we want to get people together, Israeli people. There were some people from the Knesset that were there. There were some people from Israel. Some other people from Israel were there, and then a whole bunch of Swedish people. But thankfully, everybody got re-registered. Everybody that was canceled before got re-registered. They re-registered through the organization that we're helping, and Sister Leah and Sister Abby from Sunrise Church are helping us with. We got everybody re-registered, and over 400 people showed up at the prayer breakfast. They have victory. So maybe she can put that up on the screen. I don't know. Maybe those pictures came through. But amazing things happen there when you fight against adversity and you win, because God really touched the hearts of the Israelis that came there. There was a Knesset member that came to that event who was really, really under kind of a spirit of heaviness because of what's happened to Israel since October 7th. And while we were there at the prayer breakfast, a Swedish gentleman, an older gentleman, got up and was kind of repenting for his nation about how Sweden had treated Israel and how sorry he was and how he wanted these people who were joining us for the prayer breakfast to feel that it's not everybody in Sweden is like that, and we're against what our government has done, and we love you and we're supporting you and we're standing with you. And when he did that, that Knesset member was so touched in his heart that he got up and he hugged this elderly gentleman. And he said later that all of the pain from October 7th, from the attack against his people, lifted off of him the moment he hugged that man. He felt the presence of God. He felt the presence of God right there in that prayer breakfast. And then some amazing prayers happened. You know, our daughter lives in Sweden, so we know some of the things, some of the background. But there's a great prayer base in Sweden. And so in that prayer breakfast, there were some of the most powerful prayers that in any of the ones that Pastor Karen and I have attended. It turned out to be amazing. So maybe the thing, this is our daughter on the left there, Christina. She and her husband have 6 children there that they're raising in Sweden. Amazing family. So, but God is good, and he's faithful. What I want you to see is that when you stand up against adversity and you have the audacity of faith working with you, and believers join together in faith, you can overcome obstacles. We had a lot of them. We had tons of them. That's just a few of them that I mentioned. There were some other ones, too. Some of the parties, some of the Christian parties in Sweden said they would not come because not just security stuff, but some other stuff. Would not support this, but thankfully, some of the opposition. I mean, there were opposition members, and everybody was there, just praising God and worshiping God. The worship team came together at the last minute. It happened that a whole worship team registered because the other worship teams canceled them. But a whole worship team had registered. They didn't even know it was a worship team. And they said, we can lead worship. We'll do it. And so we had some of the most amazing worship of God in this prayer breakfast. It was like miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle. So I share that just to say adversity is not always a bad thing when you fight through and win. Because when Jesus is Lord, he's still Lord. Amen? And he has a kingdom, and he's the king of that kingdom. Praise God. So But even Jesus had to face adversity. You remember the Mount of Temptation? He went up to the Mount of Temptation, and the devil was challenging him. So he took him through three temptations. One of them had to do with authority, the last one. He said in Matthew 4, verse 8, it says, the devil took him to a very high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to them, all these I will give to you if you fall down and worship me. Now, if you read that whole story, you'll notice that Jesus didn't argue with him about it and say, no, you don't have the kingdoms of the earth. He didn't argue that point because Adam and Eve sold out to the devil. But he did say, I'm not going to worship you. You should worship only the Lord your God. That's what the word says. So he came back at him with the word of God, and he won the victory. But I think there's something significant in that is because the devil was trying to give him all the kingdoms of the world. So if you understand that term kingdom, kingdom is an old English word that is made up of two words. It's made up of king, and it's made up of the word domain. So the kingdom is the domain of the king. That's the place that the king has authority. So you can be the king of England, you have no authority in Sweden, you have no authority in Norway, you have no authority in US of A, you have no authority anywhere except where you're king. Amen? So in the kingdom of God, Jesus is the king. And his kingdom, his domain, is all the heavens and the earth. And he's the ruler. He's the supreme ruler. He is the Lord. We call him the Lord. Amen? So when we say, make Jesus your Lord, we're saying, I'm coming into your kingdom, into your domain. You are Lord in my life. You are in charge of my life. You're in the driver's seat of my life. And I'm taking orders from headquarters. I'm listening to you from here on. I'm not on my own. I'm in the army now. You are the king. You're the commander in chief. So what's up for today? Amen? That should be our attitude. What's up for today? I know a lot of times we get busy in our lives and we think we have to order our agenda, but we should be asking him what's up with him. Amen? We do probably a lot better. Praise the Lord. But Jesus... Jesus had this authority, and he demonstrated it throughout his life. So if you start reading in the Gospels, you can see how he used authority to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to cast out devils, and all those things. One of the best chapters, I think, that illustrates that is Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8 is a series of miracles, and I'll just refer to some of them. The first one is a leper. And the Bible says that this leper came to Jesus and said, if it's your will, you can make me well. And Jesus said, of course, it's my will, be made well. And instantly this guy got healed. He was using his authority, but not only was he using his authority, he was doing the will of the Father, and he was showing us the heart of the Father, that it's his will to heal people. Healing is God's will. It's his will for everybody. It's his will for you. If you're attacked with some sickness or have been injured in some way, it's God's will to bring healing to you, just because Jesus is demonstrating the God's will. He said in another place, he said, I only do what I see my Father do, and I only speak what I hear my Father say. So you can understand that when Jesus is doing these miracles, he's illustrating the heart of the Father, and he's conducting these things with the authority that the Father has given him. He was challenged for that authority. The scribes and Pharisees were always challenging him. Who gave you this authority to do this? Blah, blah, blah. And they were getting in his face, and he never really answered them. He said, well, I'll ask you a question. By whose authority did John the baptize people? And if you can answer that, then I'll answer you. But they wouldn't answer him because they didn't believe in John the Baptist and his authority. So they didn't want to give him they didn't want to give him that one. So they said, well, we can't tell you. We don't know. And he said, well, then I'm not going to answer you. I'm just going to use the authority that God has given me and keep doing these works. Praise the Lord. But what you should understand is that in another place in the book of John, it says that Jesus said that the works that he did, we shall do also. And even greater works than these shall he do, because he's going to the Father. So you can understand the importance of authority. in being a weapon that takes the enemy out and puts him down. I mean, you just can't lay down and let everything run over you. You have to stand up in faith and fight back. Fight the fight of faith. Now, Jesus has won the battle, but you have to do the cleanup operation because the enemy comes after you. He can't get at Jesus. He can't get at the angels. He can't get at God, but he can get at you because we live in the realm of this world that's contaminated with sin. So he can come after us, but we have great authority in Jesus. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. So Jesus sort of weaponized this authority, and he used it against the devil by doing the will of the Father in the lives of these people. So he healed this leper. The next story in Matthew 8 is about the centurion. It says in verse 5, when he entered Capernaum, the centurion came forward, this is Matthew 8, verse 5, appealing to him. He said, Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, suffering terribly. And he said to him, I will come and heal him. But the centurion replied, Lord, I'm not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only say the word and my servant will be healed. For I too am a man under authority with soldiers under me. And I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. So you see there's something about authority, that authority is conveyed with words. And you see that this soldier understood authority. He said, I'm under authority. In other words, he reported to some commander somewhere. And he said, under that authority, I can command my servants to do this or do that, and they have to do it. They just have to obey. I carry that authority. So if you understand that Jesus has transferred authority to us, it's the same concept as this soldier was operating under. So he said to Jesus, you have authority, so just speak the word. Just command the sickness to go out of my servant, and he'll be healed. Now, Jesus called that great faith. He said, I haven't seen this kind of faith in all of Israel. So you can see that Jesus is putting tremendous importance on you using your authority. And like this soldier, we're supposed to be under authority, submitted to authority, so that we can carry authority. But, you know, this is the United States of America. We're the United States of Independence. So I want to do whatever I want to do, right? It's not good. Because when you do that, you put yourself out on your own. But when you work under the authority of Jesus, then you're operating in tremendous, tremendous power. But you have to be obeying Jesus. Amen? Praise the Lord. So then in this story, we see that he moves on. He goes to Peter's house. And in one powerful day, Jesus is just using authority over and over and over again. And it says he rebuked sickness from Peter's mother-in-law, and she was healed. The Greek word that is termed rebuked there, you could say scolded. He scolded the sickness and told it to go. And Peter's mother-in-law got up and fed them. I guess Jesus knew where to come to lunch. Praise the Lord. Get the woman healed so we can have lunch. Praise God. But he was using his authority. He rebuked that thing off of her. And later that day, then he crossed the lake. And you remember the story that he got across the lake and there were two demon-possessed men there. And these demon-possessed men were frightening everybody. They were naked and they were running through the area. But Jesus that day, he rebuked, first of all, a dangerous storm, brought it to a whimper. Coming across the lake, and then he rebuked the 6,000 demons out of this man, and they went into a herd of pigs. They obeyed him, but he had to do something. He had to stand up and use that authority. So when adversity comes to you or comes to your house, you have to do something and stand up with the authority that's in you. And sometimes people say, well, you guys are just bragging, you got something, you know. You're just bragging about being filled with the Holy Spirit. No, I'm bragging on Jesus. Yeah. Jesus gave us authority over serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And he said, nothing will by any means hurt you. So when you stand up and use that authority, so sometimes when we minister to people, we encourage them, you know, if we're laying hands on them for healing, we encourage them to use their authority that they have and tell the sickness to go. Tell it to go now in Jesus' name. Tell it to go. What are we doing? We're encouraging you to use your authority. We're standing in agreement with you. We agree with you in Jesus' name. The Bible says where two should agree is touching anything they ask, it shall be done. That word ask, by the way, could be translated also accurately as demand. Anything we demand in Jesus' name, it'll be. Amen? So we want to bring every person to a place of faith. You know, we can't create faith in a person, but the Word of God brings faith to you. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing comes from the Word of God. When you receive the Word of God, faith can arise in you. You can take hold with us, and you can come against that thing. Drive it out of your life in the name of Jesus. It has to go. It cannot stay. It cannot stay because Jesus is Lord over your life. Jesus is Lord, and you're in His kingdom. You're in His domain where He rules. And you're ruling and reigning with Him under His authority. So when you speak to that thing, it has to obey you. So you say, well, what if I don't see it go right away? Just stand in faith. Because it has to go. And just say, no, you cannot stay. You can't stay in me. Sickness, I don't belong to you, and you don't belong to me. You're not mine. I'm healed by Jesus' stripes. That's what the Word of God says. So you say, well, wouldn't that be lying? No, that'd be saying the truth, because it'd be saying the truth of God's Word. God's Word says that He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we were healed. And if we were healed, we're healed. Amen? Yes. Praise the Lord. This isn't mind over matter. This is faith coming against the attack of the enemy. So you're the healed person, and the devil is the one trying to take your healing away from you.
That's right.
Trying to take your health away from you. You don't have to stand for it. Fight back in Jesus' name. We'll stand with you to fight back. However long or short it takes, doesn't matter. We're after the devil and his works. We're going to destroy. We're going to stand with Jesus in destroying the works of the devil. The Bible says, for this reason was the Son of God manifested to destroy the works of the evil one. So we're part of that. Where Jesus lives in us. The Jesus in you wants to destroy the works of the devil in you. Or around you, or near you, or by you, or close to you. Amen? Praise the Lord. So that's the force of authority. He rebuked the sickness in the mother-in-law. He rebuked the storm, the dangerous storm. He rebuked the 6,000 demons, and they left. They went into the pigs. And one of the things you notice, he didn't really pray about any of those things. He just knew his authority, and he spoke to the trees, to the fish, and to even corpses. So sometimes, you know, we just, you know, we're Christians, so we say, well, I believe in prayer, so we pray and we beg God and we tell God about all of our problems. But the thing is when Jesus was teaching his disciples, he said that you should speak to the mountain and command it to go into the sea, and it should obey you. And it says that if you believe and don't doubt in your heart that those things that you say will come to pass, you'll have whatever you say. So we should be speaking to the mountain about our God instead of speaking to God about our mountain. Amen? It's maybe just a slight difference. And, you know, I'm not ridiculing anybody for how we've prayed. Or, you know, I've done this too. So, I mean, it's not about I'm perfect, you're not. You know, I get it, you don't. This is about coming to a place of faith in prayer where you're saying, wow, you know what? I have a whole lot more authority than what I ever imagined I could have. Because who am I to stand before Jesus or before God and to use that kind of power to destroy the works of the enemy? And yet, God wants us to. Why? Because there's a whole world out there that needs to be saved. There's a whole world of sick people that need to be healed. Yes. There's a whole world out there that's troubled with demon power that needs to be set free. And Jesus is the one who sets people free. Amen? Yes. So if you've been tormented by the devil in any way, with nightmares or with things in your body or with anything going on in your life, you have authority over him in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus means in the authority of Jesus. When you're using his name, you're signing his name to the check, basically. The authority in your bank account lies in your name. When you sign your name, the check goes out and it's honored. So when you're using the name of Jesus, you're basically signing the check with his name and say, devil, get out of my life. I'm done with you. I'm finished with you. I've had enough. Enough is enough. Enough is too much. So go. In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. So just reiterating, you know, whosoever shall say. Maybe your prayers have been timid. Maybe they've been whining. Maybe they've been pathetic. I hope not. Maybe you need to look at your mountain and say out loud, mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea. Because that's what Jesus said to do. Amen. If he said it, we should do it. The Bible says that blessed are they that not... The people that are blessed are not blessed because they hear the word of God. They're blessed because they do the word of God. So let's be doers. Amen. And not just hearers only. So scold your storm. It's powerful. Tell it to go in the name of Jesus. Get it out of your life in the name of Jesus. And if you need reinforcement, get some reinforcement, but just keep after it. Amen. Keep chasing it out. Praise the Lord. So I'm going to end with this part. Because this is kind of a, I think this is something that everybody, every Christian wrestles with to some degree. It's about having enough faith. So some people say, yes, maybe Pastor, you have enough faith for that, but I don't have enough faith for that. Well, I'm still working on my faith too, because I know that faith comes by hearing and hearing comes from the Word of God. So I've made it a habit to meditate in the Word of God on a regular basis so that the Word of God can continue to build faith in my heart. I've learned to pray in the Spirit, to pray in my prayer language, because it says the Word says, building up yourself in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Now, I'm not saying that I've arrived, because I'm still building this, amen? But you can build this too. You have to start somewhere, amen? You can't just hope the Word of God gets in you. You have to put it in you. And you can't just have somebody else pray in the Spirit for you. You need to engage yourself and pray. And believe God and trust God and let it build inside of you. Recharge the battery inside. You know, sometimes you don't live on last week's meal. You ate something yesterday, probably. I'm pretty sure most of us have eaten probably too much. But you don't live off of last year's steak. You don't say, you know, eat a steak and say, well, I'll never eat a steak again because I had one. I'll never pray in tongues again because I did once. No, just every day you recharge. Every day you eat. Every day you eat the Word. The Bible says that Jesus is the bread of life, and he is the Word made flesh. Amen? So we got to keep eating that bread. Praise God. So this thing about increasing your faith. So the disciples had the same questions. This is what I want you to see. You know, we hold the disciples up to a different level. We say, oh, that was the apostles. Those were the disciples of Jesus. So, of course, they got it, you know, because they walked with Jesus. But this is what they said to Jesus in Luke chapter 17, verse 5. It says, the apostle said to the Lord, and I'm going to close with this, I promise. Jesus said, they said to the Lord, show us how to increase our faith. I think this is the New Living Translation that I'm reading out of. And it says, the Lord answered them, if you had faith as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, may you be uprooted and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. So that doesn't really answer their question or their request, right? They said, Lord, show us how to increase our faith. And some translations just say, Lord, increase our faith. They're just like praying to Jesus to increase their faith. But he's not answering that. He's saying, if you did this, then you would get that. If you would speak, if you had even small faith, you could say. So how many of you have faith to get saved, to come to Jesus, come into the kingdom? Yeah, so you had to have some faith to do that, right? You can't come to Jesus without faith. Because the Bible says, by grace you're saved through faith. It's a gift from God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So we have faith. Now we have to use that faith, regardless of what size it is. And even a small amount of faith can take a mulberry tree, pick it up, and throw it into the sea. Now, we can imagine that in our heads, but, you know, and we're just going like, okay. If I went out there and spoke to that tree, would it really do that? I mean, you have some doubts like that. They go through your head, right? But you can't let that affect your heart, amen? Because he said if you did this, it would happen. If he said it, we should take it to the bank. Amen? Okay, so then he gives them an illustration. So you think, well, maybe he'll answer their request in the illustration. So he says, when a servant comes in from plowing or taking care of sheep, does his master say, come in and eat with me? No. He says, prepare my meal, put on your apron, and serve me while I eat. Then you can eat later. And does that master thank the servant for doing what he was told to do? Of course not. Why? Because he's a servant, right? Verse 10, in the same way, when you obey me, you should say, we're unworthy servants who simply have simply done our duty. So I wrestled with that for a long time. How does that answer what they asked? They said, Lord, increase our faith. Is this crazy? First he says, just do this, and it'll come out this way. And then he gives an illustration and says, like, okay, so it's a servant. What does that have to do with faith? But someone, a wise man of God, opened my eyes to some other possibility here. And that's this parable, this little story about the guy who has the servant. So he's saying to the servant, he doesn't say to the servant, come and eat with me. He says, just do what I told you to do. Make my meal. And the servant does that. And, you know, it's just kind of the natural course of things. But then he says in verse 10, in the same way, when you obey me, you should say, we are unworthy servants who have just simply done our duty. I think that's where he's talking about faith. Faith is your servant. Think about it. If without faith it's impossible to please God, and those who come to God must believe that he is and a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, faith has to serve you in some way. Faith has to work for you in some way. So in this parable, faith becomes your servant. It just goes out and does what Jesus said it would do. So your job is not to make this work. Your job is just to have faith and to use your faith and to let it go out and bring the answer. Let it bring the healing. Let it bring the result. Let it bring the finance. Let it bring the strained family member back. Your faith will work for you because it's a servant for you. It's not magic. And your faith will grow. And you can have great faith, not just little faith. But when you use it, it serves you. And it goes and brings the result. So I'd like to look at it this way. Faith is the hand that reaches out and takes the blessing of God. So if I offered this book to Pastor Karen, and she didn't reach out to take it, it would never become hers, right? As long as I'm holding it here, you can have this book. I won't even charge you for it. I should charge you because you're the pastor of the church. But I'm not going to charge you for it. I give it to you free. It's yours. You can have it. But she just sits there and doesn't take it. But if she reaches out with her hand and takes it, it becomes hers, right? So faith is the hand that receives the blessing of God. Now, God promised in his word, not just promised, but he put into place the principle of your healing. He said Jesus went to the cross for that healing. It belongs to you. He said you're a covenant child of God. It belongs to you. A covenant is a promise that's kept through thick and through thin. Amen? When you covenant to marry a person, You know, I know this kind of has gone awry in our day and age, but it's for keeps. So Pastor Karen and I have been married for this year for 54 years. It's because it's for keeps. We've had our ups and downs. We've had our bumps. We've had our troubles. We've had our trials. We've had things come against our marriage. But it's for keeps, right? So we're staying together until the very end, till Jesus comes back, or till we go to heaven together, whatever. And maybe we'll go from Israel someday. I don't know. I'm ready. We're ready. But it's a covenant that God has with you. The healing covenant belongs to you. His name is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer. That's his covenant name for healing. Belongs to you. It's yours. It's your right. So when you stand up and use your authority and say, sickness, get out of my body, you're getting in agreement with that covenant of healing that he has for you, that he provided for you at the cross. When you're saying, devil, get your hands off of my finances, and I don't mean maybe, in Jesus' name, finances, you come to me to pay this bill or that bill or whatever. You're getting in line with the covenant of God that he has, that he would provide all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He said he would. Amen? He keeps his promises. But you have to let faith reach out and take the blessing. Amen? Praise the Lord. So I'm going to end there, and we're going to pray for people. Let's stand and let's pray for, first of all, for those that are online. So, kind of as a summary to this, as the present age becomes more and more dangerous, the call to be strong and courageous must resonate in the lives of believers. When others are fearful and dismayed, we must stand up with the audacity, with audacious authority in faith. Only then can we be standing strong in the Lord and the power of his might. So step up to the plate, follower of Christ, for you have been called for such a time as this. So, Father, I just pray now over those that are watching us online, Father, those on the live stream. In the name of Jesus, we rebuke every sickness. We rebuke every kind of disease, every kind of challenge to their lives, to their families, to their homes, to their persons. In the name of Jesus, we rebuke those things, and by the blood of Jesus, we declare victory over them. We thank you, Father God, that those sicknesses are leaving them now. Father God, that the finances are coming to them now, that the family members are being restored to them now, and that the devil is defeated and Jesus is Lord in their homes, in their families, in their workplace. Thank you, Father God, for victory by the blood of Jesus and by the power of Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus, that you hear and you answer when we pray. And we thank you, Father God, for the spirit of faith that resides inside of us, because you said if the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he will quicken your mortal body. He will bring life and fill your body with life. And we thank you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for making us courageous people of faith in Jesus' name and by his blood that he shed on the cross at Calvary. And everybody said,
thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.